The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
There's an A++++++++ list male pop star that is supposedly going to be taking over the Vegas Sphere for 35 nights. But before we get into that, I have an update on one of the most salacious stories I brought up yesterday that we didn't have answers for. But through my investigative journalism, aka going on Instagram, I was able to deduce what happened. So you remember yesterday I was telling you about how Brandon Sklenar and Justin Baldoni wore the same pink brooch
yes.
at different events. Justin Baldoni wore this pink flower brooch at the It Ends With Us premiere. And then last weekend at the Vanity Fair Oscars after party, Brandon Sklenar, who we thought was on Team Blake, wore seemingly the exact same brooch on his lapel.
Is he an actor also?
He was the co-star in It Ends With Us.
Okay.
So a lot of people thought he was on Blake's side because he reposted her lawsuit when it first came out saying, you've got to read this. And now it looks like maybe he switched sides because he wore that brooch. But we didn't know. We're like, is he aware that that's the same brooch that Justin Baldoni was wearing? Or is this like a sneaky stylist just trying to stir the pot to get people talking? So I do follow this man on Instagram. And I can't believe I missed this because I love to look at him. He's a fancy, he's a hot man. And his most recent Instagram post is a photo of him with that brooch on at the Vanity Fair Oscars after party. And his caption for that photo says, Vanity Fair X, which is kind of like a way of saying collaboration or in addition, Vanity Fair X, long live the brooch. So Brandon Sklenar did that, like, is sentient about this situation.
Long live the brooch?
Long live the brooch.
It does have meaning.
It does have meaning.
Oh, so they really are brooch bros.
They're brooch bros. It might even be Justin Baldoni's brooch. So, maybe it was like an olive branch. Justin Baldoni gave him the olive branch brooch and he wore it publicly to be like, I stand with Justin.
So that's his way of endorsing that he knows what's going on and he's on Justin's side. That speaks volumes, does it not? I mean, he was on set every day.
That's what we're saying is it says it is huge because A, he reposted Blake Lively's lawsuit. So he was trying to stand with her, trying to show that he was trying to be an ally to women and stand with her. And then now it looks because he's wearing that brooch and he's commenting on the brooch. And every time he's been asked about the situation, he doesn't say, oh yeah, I stand with Blake. He's a little bit more vague. It looks like he's standing with Justin.
It looks like he's officially switched sides.
Uh-huh.
That he was Team Blake and now he is Team Justin. And it would be one thing to be Team Blake and then to be Team Nobody,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of what feels like Colleen Hoover is doing, which was like, just erasing everything. Like she left, answer Colleen Hoover being the author behind the movie. She left social media, then she comes back. And when she comes back, she just deletes everything that she had with Blake Lively, which is kind of, it's taking a stance, but it's also not being, you know, actively proactive Justin. Mm-hmm. Whereas
this is very pro-Justin.
I almost feel like there's more credibility in what she's doing than him. Because I felt like before you had reminded me about this, that it felt like the dudes now are standing on one side and the women are standing on the other side with Blake. But that's not true.
Mm-mm. No. And I mean, to give Brandon the benefit of the doubt, I mean, that's a tough situation to be in. A, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively are these Hollywood powerhouses with all these connections. And to be fair, like, if your female co-star comes to you and says, this thing happened to me on set, like, we should give Brandon credit for believing her. But then also, like, when you're presented with new information and you get all sides of the story and you start to see what's really going on, I think the fact that he's now switched to Justin's side speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. Okay, on to the male pop star that is going to be taking over the Vegas Sphere, allegedly, and I think the girlies are going to need to start saving their pennies. So Lisa might need to sell her champagne back to you so she can start paying for these tickets because they're going to be expensive. But supposedly, Harry Styles is going to be taking over the Sphere.
Oh, that's going to be good.
It is going to be trippy. So I actually saw him at Madison Square Garden a couple of years ago, and that is a groovy show. Like, the girls, they come out, they wear their boas, everyone's wearing sequins and their flare pants. Like, to see him in the Vegas Sphere, which is this, it's a somewhat small venue. I would say it's probably the size of an arena, maybe a little smaller. And it has this massive screen that is literally in the shape of a sphere. So it feels like whatever is being projected on the screen, it feels like you are there.
It's immersive.
It's very immersive. So if he has like a mountain range behind him, if you take certain Vegas substances, it's probably going to feel like you are floating around some mountains or whatever he chooses to project. So it's going to be really, really exciting. And I'm already getting a mortgage loan for this as well. All right, Colin Jost and Pete Davidson are allegedly friends again after Pete did something for Colin that cost him $20,000. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All right, it's negotiation time here. Kristen had a fun idea yesterday. All the items cool sold for my house except one.
And that was your engraved bottle of champagne acknowledging your induction into the Georgia Radio Hall of Fame that I thought the hall had given you, but turns out Cassie had gifted that to you to commemorate that huge accomplishment.
So where exactly was this bottle of champagne in my house? Because I don't drink a lot of wine or champagne. Yeah.
It was in, so when you walk into your house and then you have your sex swing over to the left. I'm just kidding.
You might want to explain
it's
that.
It's a floating couch. It's a floating couch, and it's really cool, but everybody likes to call it something else. And then there's your dining room table. Right there on that wall across from your dining room table next to your fireplace is this big cabinet, and one side has storage, and the other side is actually like a wine cabinet for you to store wine.
So underneath what Katie has called the parking garage mirror.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So you have this massive mirror. If you want to see the video, you can go to The Burt Show's Facebook page or Instagram page at The Burt Show. And I made sure to detail every area of the house I went into because I wanted proof that this was your stuff and I really did go into your house. Mm-hmm. So it was the last place I decided to look because I hadn't looked in those drawers. And by the way, I did set boundaries. I did not step foot into Hollis's room because that would have been crossing a line.
Yeah, either have I. In a very long time. I don't want to know what's down there.
Uh-huh. And I did not open your
the side tables.
Yes.
Do not do that. Never go into the side tables.
That's a good idea.
that's where the bad box could be.
I thought about it and then I was like, I actually did like a little shiver, like, ugh. So I didn't do that. But
did you have anxiety the entire time, like feeling like he would walk in at any moment?
No, man.
No?
I knew he was a co-star. Okay. I had just seen the video of the dolphins.
Oh, you felt safe. Got it.
I felt 1,000% safe. So I open that side table, mm-hmm. and underneath is where you keep all of your wine bottles. And I just looked through and I saw some and I was like, you know, no shade to Kim Crawford, but I'm like, that's not expensive. You could buy that anywhere. But then I came across that one, and I was like, this is perfect.
And if you weren't listening earlier, Cassie got me that, but I don't ever celebrate myself. So, like, that wasn't a big deal. So she sold it for a penny. I'm like, that's fine. I was never going to drink it anyway. And then I realized, like, you know, it is kind of a big deal to be in that hall, even though it was some embarrassment to get there. For sure.
Stop focusing on that.
And I think also I was probably saving it not to drink myself, but to give my kids when I'm not around anymore.
Aww. Mm-hmm.
That's my thought on it, right?
Yeah. Starting to feel
you're
bad.
You're a terrible person.
Yeah. Why would you do that, Kristen? Yeah. Oh, no. There's people in the comments making sure I know I was horrible for doing
really?
This.
Yeah.
You won't step into Hollis's room, but you'll steal his family heirloom.
All right, so Lisa bought, what did you do? Give it away to caller like 100 every hour?
We picked different numbers. I picked the first caller, number 4. That's who, I don't know why I remember this. I'm like an idiot savant right now. So I chose caller number 4 for the first hour because that's my favorite number. Then Mo chose
7, lucky number 7.
And then Abby was feeling fine, so she chose number 9. Okay. And that was Lisa.
All right, hey, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi. So you bought that bottle of champagne from the Georgia Hall of Fame for a penny yesterday.
I sure did.
Okay. Yes. I would like that bottle back. So can we negotiate?
Okay. I mean, we can try, but I don't know. I'm very excited about it. I have brunch plans tomorrow, and I was already planning on using it for mimosas with my friends. So.
Girl, we'll get you some Andre. It'll be fine.
There's 20 years of Burt shows wrapped up in that champagne, and you're just going to use it on a random Saturday for brunch. Okay. I will allow you to double your money. You paid a penny for it yesterday. Here I am. Sitting at the negotiation table, my first offer, doubling your money and giving you 2 cents for it.
Ooh, big bucks.
I mean, look, I've like planned my day around coming by to pick that up. So like my time is really valuable to me.
Oh, so you're not. So Lisa, you're local and you're just going to swing by the station today and grab it from the front desk.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be a shame if you came by and it wasn't there?
I mean, that would be, that would feel like a very big deal. And I could, I mean, I have social media. I could blast about that.
Oh, I don't care about that.
She's going to shoot off an email to Mary Byrne.
We're in the middle of negotiating this, and I realize it's you that should be doing the negotiating. You should feel so bad about this that you're the one that should be doing the negotiating. This was a heirloom, like Cassie said, I was going to pass down to my kids on the crowning jewel of my career.
Oddly, weirdly enough, I don't feel bad.
I mean, how about this? Like, what if I drink it and then we can just give you the bottle back?
Huh. No, I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's going to work. It's not necessarily the bottle. It's the whole thing. Cassie, what kind of champagne was even in it? Was it high-end champagne? Was it?
It's like a $100 bottle.
Oh,
you shouldn't have said that. You should have lied.
So,
sorry. I think I just made it harder for you.
You did.
It was a $10 bottle.
There you go.
All right, why don't I give you $100 plus the penny? $100 and a penny.
Okay, sold. Done.
Oh, yeah. That was easy?
That was easy.
All right.
Okay.
It is.
All right. So our work is done
here. Lisa, we need to work on your negotiations.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we don't.
We would have been here a while if I was Lisa.
There it is.
Okay.
Reunited.
And it feels so good.
It's back. It's back, baby.
He's back in the Georgia Radio Hall of Fame.
Yes.
The Burt Show.
Listener Danae is fired up going into the weekend, insulted and fired up. Hey, Danae.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so what happened? Why are you so insulted?
Well, first off, I'm a brand new mom here. I've been a mom for about 7 months now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It has been the most incredible, exhausting, yet rewarding experience of my life. Every single day, I'm learning something new about motherhood, about myself, and honestly, about how much coffee a person can consume. But there's one thing that I've come to realize as a working mom is that it's always something has to give. Days, I'm telling you, just some days I feel like I'm just doing great with my job, but then I feel like I'm missing out on precious moments with my child, you know? And then other days, I'm fully present with my baby, but I'm drowning in work and unread emails and just stress, and the balance is it's almost impossible.
Yeah, there's no such thing as balance.
It's not. And, you know, like so many other moms, I keep going because I have to. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be able to provide my child with everything, you know, love, security, future. You know, I just want them to have the world, you know, of possibilities at their hands. So, which leads to the reason why I'm calling. I was so excited when I found out about a local new mommy club in my area. You know, I thought it would be a great way to connect with other moms who get it, who understand the struggle of joy, you know, the chaos of raising a little human. Mm-hmm. So I applied. I'm kind of frustrated and frazzled, so excuse me, but I got denied, and that's why I'm calling you guys.
Who denies a new mother from a new mommy club?
Right. Who makes people have to apply to a new mom club?
That's the better question.
Is there any reason why they denied you?
Yeah, the reason I got denied is because I'm a working mom.
No, No, absolutely not denied. They did not deny you access to this new mommy club because you're a working mom.
Because I am a work, I'm getting fired up all over again. I apologize, you guys. The club's president told me to my face that they can only accept moms who are fully committed to my
family.
Oh, my God.
No,
Cassie
no,
and I,
no, no.
Danae, we ride at dawn. Cassie and I.
Seriously.
So since I have a job, they consider me a part-time mom.
That's insane.
That is.
You know what?
So is this like a really exclusive neighborhood or something like that where they could be so out of touch to say something like that?
It is. And I'm completely stunned because since when does having a career make someone less than a mother?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. Yeah,
not at all.
So I would say like this is shocking, but unfortunately it's not. And I had somebody call me this once.
What?
Is that right?
Yeah, it was a listener in a comment called me a part-time mom.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding. Not at all. And I was very, very taken back by the comment. But she referred to me as a part-time mom because I worked.
Here's the thing, though, Danae, is that I'm not exactly sure what you called for and what the intent here is that even if you somehow, some way get yourself into this club, what a pain that's going to be because they are going to treat you so differently.
Wouldn't want any part of it.
Wouldn't want any part of this club at all. If you make your way in, you are going to be, they are going to try to make your life miserable.
But I would also want to make their lives miserable.
Yeah. Oh, that's so much effort.
Yeah, you got a kid.
In time.
You got time for this now.
I was going to say the same thing, but I'm just wondering what for them to, because who are they to tell you that you're not, that you're a part-time mom? I would imagine having a job and being a mom makes you a super mom, but what are the benefits of these clubs and being in them in the first place to where they can tell you what kind of mom you are?
I would think some of these mom clubs is you support each other. Like, you lean on each other. Clearly like, hey, yeah. Like, okay, this is what I'm struggling with. How are you getting through it? But you got some moms here that don't work, so their problems and their obstacles are going to be very different than Danae's.
Right.
So I think she's going to really feel out of the loop.
Yeah, Danae, in a weird way, I almost feel like they did you a favor, even though they did it in a rude way that was completely uncalled for by calling you a part-time mom. But maybe this rejection is a redirection for you to find a group of moms who have the same struggles as you, where you are juggling raising your child, but also working.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm very taken aback by this whole situation because are moms still being unfairly divided into categories? Like, I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. I pushed this baby out of my body.
Yeah, same way they did,
Time is a full-time or a part-time. I have to be every time, you know. I have to still work and be on top of my game at work.
I still
have to come home and get my baby love. I still have to love on my husband. Like, how can you call me a part-time anything when I'm literally hanging over here by a string? If I don't go to Starbucks in the next 20 minutes, it's not going to be a happy day for anybody over here. So it's like, you know.
We're with you, Hey, here's Vanessa. Hey, Vanessa, good morning. You're on The Burt Show.
Good morning. Hi, Danae. First of all, welcome to motherhood. It's a blessing and it sucks.
Save that.
I don't know where you are located, but if you're here in Georgia or near the Gwinnett area, I have a list, a long laundry list of moms clubs that would welcome you. There's even a moms club in the Gwinnett area that is specifically for working moms.
There you go.
So if that's something you would be interested in, I can definitely help connect you with them.
That's sweet. That's real sweet.
And I do agree with you guys. Like, your time and energy need to be spent on the priorities and the important things, which obviously for Danae is your baby, your family, your work, etc. But the fire inside of me as a fellow working mom, I would have a hard time letting this slide just from a standpoint of wanting to stick up for working moms. Like, in my head, this is something I'm saying. I don't know if I would be able to follow through with it, but like whenever this new mommy club meets, I would show up with my kid in the stroller, and with a sign that says denied access to a mommy club because I'm a working mom.
Yeah.
And just stand there in front as the people are entering, you know what I mean? Just to make a statement, because you get to a certain point where you do have to weigh what's worth it, but you also have to be like, how much are you going to let people get away with?
Let security kick her out.
Yeah.
Let security kick you out. It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Rebecca, what did you do wrong? What did you do wrong?
Yeah, I yelled at a group of children, and I would do it again.
How old are they?
They were 14, 15.
Oh, okay. She was going to be like, they were four?
Yeah, that's different. 14, 15, yeah.
No, they were like tween, teeny bopper kind of age. I cussed them out.
You cussed them out?
I absolutely cussed them out.
Good for you.
I'm still mad.
Well,
oh, my God.
You don't know why yet.
I don't know. I trust Rebecca. Me and her are like this. They probably did something to deserve it.
Oh, it was justified. They were acting like children. Oh, my God. I'm so
mad
about this.
Because they are children.
Well, they should know how to act in public. Here's what happened. I don't know if just after the pandemic, it seems like the public has gotten so much more annoying. It's like people don't know how to act when they like leave their house anymore.
What happened to decorum?
What happened to decorum? What happened to being demure?
Mindful, respectful.
So I've talked about how movie theater audiences are just, they have no etiquette anymore whatsoever.
Well, because everybody's the star of their own movie. Like, yes. The world revolves around them. So if they're in a movie theater and they want their phone out, they don't care about anybody sitting around them because whatever they're doing is the most important thing and they don't care.
There is nothing that will upset our show director, Tommy, more than poor movie etiquette. Either you're eating too loudly or you're reaching into the popcorn bag too often or the cell phone.
Or you're sitting next to Bert's son, Hayden, and he's asking you a million questions or commenting on the movie entire time.
Won't stop
the commentary
talking.
Is the worst. Man.
If Tommy had been at my theater that night, I believe someone would have been arrested.
I love how it's now your theater.
It's my dome. The movie theater is my sanctuary and you are ruining my space. Okay, here's what happened.
Were you at, by the way?
I was at the Sandy Springs Cinema and Tap House where Bert's son used to work, actually.
Yeah, both of them. Mm-hmm. At some point, yeah.
Love that theater. It's such a great theater.
Did I ever tell you the reason why he quit that job?
Which no. one? Yes, you did.
One too many times, my brother.
Yeah, we don't need to hear it again.
That's bonus content.
Oh, God. Okay, so we're going to go see this movie, The Monkey, which is a horror comedy movie, R-rated. Don't know why there were 14-year-old little teeny boppers in there. My first mistake. Going to see a movie at 8 p.m. on a Friday. That's when just the shenanigans happen. Yeah. I love a matinee. I will never go anywhere outside of like Tuesday at 11:30 ever again. So I lean to my friend and I'm like, I just wonder, is anyone going to be annoying at this theater today? Because we get there, it's a crowded theater. Everyone seems cool at first. Everyone's kind of like our age. And then they start filing in. And it is a row. Behind us.
Oh, right behind teens. You?
Yes. All these like 14, 15-year-old boys looking like the front lines of the Skibidi Toilet Army. And they were cool. Like, they were cool at first, but then two girls their age show up and join them.
Oh, no.
And they lost their minds.
Oh, now they're trying to like kind of puff the chest and they're
flex
trying to show
bit.
Off.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt like I was in the Amazon watching some sort of like strange mating like ritual between these like boys puffing up their chest, their identical flow haircuts just blowing in the wind. Oh my God. So here's what they did. As soon as the movie started, they're all whispering to each other as loudly as they possibly can before it turns into like actual speech. They're crinkling their wrappers like in a way that you can tell they're trying to annoy the audience.
They're doing this on purpose at this point.
On purpose, okay. Intentionally. They're hitting vapes. So I can smell the like blueberry troll cloud fart smell like every few seconds. But it was something one of them started to do something. So it was a horror comedy. So people are laughing. Normal people are laughing at the movie. And this one kid decides, every time someone genuinely laughs, I'm going to start mocking them. Oh, and he starts going, ha, 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 ha.
Oh, so he's heckling. So he's heckling the audience.
He is mocking the people who are trying to enjoy the movie. So not only are they being intentionally annoying, now they're being downright rude.
And they also have plausible deniability because he's like, I'm just laughing at the movie. You can't throw me out because I'm just laughing at the movie.
So I think to myself, okay, if they do it again, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to say, can you please be quiet? We all can hear you.
Uh-oh.
Because usually when you say something polite, it kind of disarms people and they usually stay quiet. So when I wait a beat, something funny happens, a man laughs, and the kid just bellows, ha, 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 ha. I turn to face him, fully planning to say, can you please be quiet? That's not what I said.
Oh, no.
This is what I said.
Hey, that's really f***ing annoying. Can you guys shut the f*** up for one second?
I three of them things.
Lost it.
Okay.
Come on, Karen.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Come through.
And the kids, immediately, one of them starts going, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like he's like mocking me, you know, like he's like whatever. So I snap and I say this.
Didn't your mom teach you not to talk in a movie theater?
Oh, I lost it. I absolutely lost it. And after that, I think he got a little scared because he actually said, I'm sorry. He actually apologized.
Genuinely
apologized. And I'm looking at each one of them in the eyes. I stare down each one of them and they all just go completely silent. And I say, thank you. And I turn around and they're quiet for like 20 minutes and then they start back up again.
My favorite part about that situation is they were, of course, trying to impress those other like ladies that showed up and you humbled them so bad that shows that that kind of behavior is not acceptable. And I guarantee you those girls gave them crap for it.
My only wish is that one day in like 5 years, one of them can't go to sleep at night because they're thinking about this moment.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I know. They're literally just like, what the hell was up with that bee? Oh, my God. But to my credit, which I'm very happy about, as soon as the lights came up, they scurried. They scurried like little mice. And they went outside and they waited for their mommy and daddy to pick them up.
All right, Kristen, you got a nice little low-key night tonight. It's a party, but a low-key party.
Yeah, and it goes against everything I believe in. But listen. It ain't about me. It is not about me. It is about my husband and what my husband wants to celebrate his 50th. So yeah, his 50th birthday was December 28th. So we're a little bit late to the party. But we had something special for family and friends in Kentucky when we were there to celebrate on his actual birthday. Then we got back here to Atlanta and I hit up. He goes, I want to celebrate with our friends in Atlanta because we have some close friends here. What do you want? And he's like, you know, I want to keep it simple. I want just a close group of people. He told me who he wants. And I'm like, perfect. We'll go out and do a nice dinner. So I've been bugging the livid daylights out of him, and I've been sending him emails with really nice restaurants here in Atlanta.
Like, for 3 months, apparently.
Yes. So, and he finally tells me that he wants to just go eat wings. He's like, I just want to go to Wing Factory and eat wings. Now, mind you, I've been trying to hit everybody up, and the date everybody was available, like everybody, was tonight. Mm-hmm. So it took us a while to like set it up, but he wants to go to Wing Factory. He wants to eat wings.
I love this man.
He wants to sit at the bar at High Tops. Doesn't want he wants to, wants yep. to sit at the bar so people can move like be mobile so yeah. we can have conversations. And I was like, Wing Factory it is?
This sounds fantastic.
This sounds glorious to me.
And you thought it was going to be a nice, easy reservation until you walked in there and they're like, I don't know that we can accommodate you.
Yeah, so I go to Wing Factory yesterday and I talked to the manager. It's like, hey, is there any way to reserve like a couple high tops? My husband, this is blah, 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 whatever. And she's like, yeah, I don't know.
We don't do that.
She's like, I need to check with the bartender.
At Wing Factory.
At Wing Factory. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so literally all day yesterday, I'm on pins and needles waiting for Esmeralda to like call me back and let me know. And like finally got a call like at 5 o'clock. Say, hey, I checked with the bartender. You guys are good to go for tomorrow night.
It's the Bird Show.
The Bird Show.
So there I was, minding my business, doing my thing, living my life, and I received a random text message from someone that we all know, demanding change from someone on this show.
Ooh. Demanding change?
Demanding change.
It's a strong word.
Yeah. Right. And apparently I am the vessel that the change has to come through. So I am here to deliver the announcement.
We're intrigued.
Yeah. And why can't this person reach out? Mm-hmm. If we all know this person.
Mm-hmm.
So why did they not feel comfortable reaching out to the person that this is targeting?
I'm not exactly sure. But
you don't know the motivation, but you're in.
But I think once you guys know what the change is, it will make a little more sense.
Can you reveal who the person is and we can try and guess who has to change?
Oh, can I reveal who the person that demanded the change is?
Your source.
Oh, you would know. You if I gave you the source, you're going to know the person. But I'm going to tell you the person either way.
Mm.
So Was any of y'all, before I move forward, was anyone asked to bring something with them to work today? And you maybe thought to yourself, I have no idea why, but I'm going to bring it.
I was handed an envelope from Amanda yesterday that said Mo on it. And it said, bring this into work today. So what is going down?
Shut up. This is crazy.
So wait. If I'm picking up what you're putting down, the person who reached out to you to call out Bert is his own girlfriend, Amanda?
That is exactly what is happening here.
That's so uncomfortable.
If everyone would go to your email, that's the one.
Oh my God. Am I supposed to open this or you're supposed to open
it? I think you can open it. You can open it now. There is a picture in your emails.
Okay, wait a second. I got a question. When was this sent? When was this text message sent to you?
This was sent to me last week, the end of last week.
Okay.
And this, okay, so the picture that everyone is looking at is a picture of how Bert ties his sneakers.
What is wrong with you?
And that is what we are here to figure out, Kristen, because ties their sneakers this way, man?
Well, how else are you supposed to tie them?
What are you preparing for? Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Okay, so what exactly is wrong in this picture with this?
Okay, so the first thing about your shoelaces is I think this all started because I'd made a comment while we were at BBA about how your shoelaces are just never tied.
Never.
They are always just dragging on the floor with you.
They do. And even when they are tied, the shoelace is so long and your loops are so long and big that it all just drags the ground. And I can only imagine what kind of substance is living on your shoelaces?
So I'm going to feel like a toddler here telling you what the problem here is. They're not untied. I think I'm so right-handed dominant that when I tie my shoelaces, I stretch the right side shoelace way more than the left one. So there's like a foot and a half of right lace and like 2 inches of left lace. So I try to tie them together and one side is a huge loop and it just drags behind the shoe all the time. And it's consistent with every pair that I have. And it drives Amanda crazy. Right.
We're going to have to get you those Velcro shoes like Jimmy.
Yeah, that's what she was suggesting. Yeah, and before we get there,
that's what she was suggesting.
I'm trying to help you out here.
Yeah.
I don't want us to get to that point because I realized how much of a problem it was when you walked through the vomit at BBA. And your shoelaces was just dragging through the vomit. And I was like, nah, we got to do something. Now, so when I got this text message, my head was in the same place as Amanda's. And I was like, we got to fix this.
Yes, because I like my shoelaces. I keep everything loose because I slip on my sneaks or whatever. Yep. But I also keep them very loose. But when you're looking at this picture of your shoe, and this is just like a regular Nike, it looks like your shoelaces are trying to strangle the living daylight out of your shoe.
You are choking your sneaker. I've never seen this.
I haven't either. How do you even get your foot in that?
I have been called more than one time, like silverback-like, because I don't know my own strength.
You really don't.
So I tie them so tightly that it becomes a problem.
They tie it like a basketball game might break out at any second, and you got to be fully prepared to get busy.
It's literally like he feels like he has to get into a full sprint.
Yes.
Because danger's around the corner, and at any point in time, he's going to have to flee for his life, and them shoes can't be slipping off.
I feel so vulnerable right now. Hey, Nicole, good morning. You're on The Bert Show. Hi.
Hey, Bert, I just have to say, there's no excuse you can't properly tie your shoes because I'm missing a whole hand and I have no problem.
Well, now I got questions. Am I allowed to ask you how you lost said hand?
I don't think I can say the funny thing on the radio, but it was a car accident.
A car accident. All right, so you have one hand and you have no problem tying your shoelaces in with equal right and left.
No problem. And okay. I do heavily exercise as yourself. So again, I think you might even have the flexibility to do so.
Will you come over and teach me how to tie my shoelaces?
No. Nicole, if you are local and you can swing by the radio station, that is some video gold of you teaching Bert how to tie his shoelaces.
With one hand.
And we have a shoe tying kit that you can use to help him because that's what should be in the envelope that Amanda sent you to work
with. Is that what it is?
open it.
It's a shoe tying kit.
All right, Nicole, I'm going to put you on hold. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, we got to get
I didn't even know they made. Are these for like little kids that don't know how to tie their shoes?
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, so she went out and she bought this?
I think she found it on like YouTube and she created one at home that you could bring in today so that you can practice your shoe. There you go. Wait, she drew the Nike sign on it.
That's
are
cool.
You serious? Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it absolutely drives her crazy. And it's very distracting. And it drives me crazy, too. So much so that I'm like, you know what? You're right. You're right. So I go to cut my shoelace, and then I cut too much off of it.
What?
So it's only like a quarter of the inch on both sides.
So when you start to lace them from the front, you don't keep them even as you continue to put them?
No, man. It's the ADHD.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to blame it on the ADHD.
This is like when the kids used to have to wrap their shoelace around their ankle in order to make it work.
Okay, I hear her, and I will practice on her makeshift shoelace making.
Do bring this to dinner tonight. Okay. And we will practice at dinner tonight.
At Wild Wing Cafe?
At Wing Factory.
Wing Factory.
The Burt Show. Okay. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Why? I could have taken today off. I mean, why commit on a Friday?
We all said that.
We were taking bets, kind of, that you weren't coming in today. We're like, dude, he's missed 4 days already. What's the point of even coming in on a Friday?
I should have taken it off.
When I saw that you were on the schedule for the first break, I was like, we're going to have to find something to fill that. I was like, do I have any stories? All right, can you buy your way back into somebody's good graces? That's a question that Bert's girlfriend Amanda is asking herself right now. But that's also a question that comedian Pete Davidson had to ask himself when he decided to extend a very expensive olive branch to his former coworker and former friend, Colin Jost. So a brief history of these two and their friendship. They both worked on Saturday Night Live together for years. Of course, now Pete has gone on his own business ventures, but they actually decided to purchase a decommissioned Staten Island ferry. I believe because they're both from Staten Island and they wanted to start some kind of live entertainment business with this ferry. Now, we don't know what their feud or their beef is about, but all we know is that whatever happened between the two of them, it led to them not pursuing this business venture anymore, and they just weren't going to be friends anymore.
This was like, if I remember the story correctly from back a while ago, it was like they went into bankruptcy, the ferry went into bankruptcy, it was an old casino, and they were going to make it a casino?
It was a decommissioned ferry, and they decided to make it some kind of live entertainment spot. Okay. So, like, you get on the ferry, maybe it's a comedy club, or maybe it's some kind of, like, actual club. We don't know, because the business never actually happened because of this feud. So, I guess they both just own this ferry now, and they're not friends anymore, but I guess, according to reports, Pete Davidson decided that he was going to try and mend this friendship through a $20,000 Cartier watch, which is like one of the gold standard of watches. I mean, think of like Rolex, but maybe a little bit more chic, a little bit more fashion forward. And there's no reports on if they're actually now friends again, but now Colin has a very expensive wristwatch. So good for him. Love that for him. I don't think he needed it considering he's married to Scarlett Johansson. But I am wondering, what is the farthest you've ever gone to try and get someone to forgive you for something you did? Like, have you ever gone as far as purchasing something expensive for someone or doing a really extensive favor to get back in their good graces?
No.
I can't think of one.
I don't think I have.
Not for like forgiveness aspect.
I generally grovel so much and beat myself up so much that I don't have to put anything superficial down for it. I don't think I have.
I might have made some purchases to say like I could have done better, but I don't think I was ever at the point of trying to buy someone's forgiveness.
Mm. I'm just kind of the mindset that if you have to spend $20,000 on somebody for them to forgive me, you probably did something unforgivable.
Yeah.
Or you just have way too much money on your hands.
Or both.
Or both. Okay, the Oscars are getting a lot of criticism for ageism. People have noticed a trend and who wins best actor versus who wins best actress for the Oscars. So this year for the Oscars, best actor went to 51-year-old Adrienne Brody. And this year's best actress went to a woman in her 20s named Mikey Madison, who won for a movie called Anora. So people notice like, oh, it's really interesting that this new ingenue just won best actress for the Oscars. Like, why wouldn't it finally go to Demi Moore, who has never won an Oscar before? So people pulled up the data as to the ages of each best actor
Actor and Best Actress winner.
Yeah, I'm interested in hearing the data. Uh-huh. Well, because it should just be based on performance. Your age should not play a factor.
Well, it's according to the data, it definitely looks like age plays a factor, just according to the trends. So Best Actor has been won 31 times by men in their 30s, 35 times by men in their 40s, and 15 times by men in their 50s, and 6 times by men in their 60s, as opposed to Best Actress winners. Where'd it go? So 33 women who have won Best Actresses in their 20, or Best Actress in their 20s, and then in their 30s, 35 times. So it's kind of going backwards. So 35 women have won Best Actress in their 20s, 35 women in their 30s have won Best Actress, and then women in their 40s have won it 15 times. So it's almost completely reversed. Like the only time a man in his 20s won Best Actor was Adrian Brody when he won for The Pianist. So it's almost like it's completely skewed against you if you're a young man, and it's totally in your favor if you're a young woman. Very, very interesting data. Mm-hmm. All right, is Dolly Parton capitalizing on her husband's death, or is it a beautiful tribute? I'll tell you about the star's most recent venture on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.